Blog Talk Radio.
Now I'm
people think they know me.
That's that girl with R. Kelly.
Hey, she's bad to Kanye.
Why do they feel they need to label me when half of them don't even know my name?
Radio land, honey. I hope that you are doing swell. It is another glorious Wednesday, darling. And you know what time it is, honey. So I hope you have all of your comforts together, baby, because it's time to dish tea. And you're dishing tea, darlings. With Big Meech. Hey, babies. Oh, child, it's gloom and doom down here in lovely old ATL. And they say this rain is coming and et cetera, et cetera. I'm sitting up here. I think I done overdid it already this morning, honey. Y'all know I'm still recuperating from this damn gastric sleeve weight loss surgery. And I had to get up this morning to go take care of some important business to make sure a bitch still got her damn roof over her head and et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, just doing this, that, and the other, and all this walking and things. And I thought I took my vitamins and all that. So right now I'm in chill mode, but I'm cool. Let me apologize, because usually, if you don't know me by now, honey, usually when I play two songs back-to-back as the opening, that means I'm having a technical difficulty. And what I have just discovered is that my computer has a fucking virus. Okay. And, so I'm trying to weed through this to make sure that everything that I had together is going to be together, because the second song that I played was supposed to have been the opening song, but as you noticed, there was a dry spot because the damn thing didn't kick in. So I'm like, okay, what is going on? So that's just a little background information, honey, to let y'all know I keep it real like that and tell y'all what's going on so that, you know, you don't think I'm flaking out in this, that, and the third. However, we are going to sit down here and have a fantastic time and then just get into some good old-fashioned talk, okay? Now, for some of you, you may not understand what's going on today. However, many of us who are in the business, of show. The business of show. You know, I like to highlight and spotlight my celebrity friends and you know, those who are up-and-coming, legendary, and this, that, and the other, so that we can understand what the journey is. Because a lot of us who are listening, you know, you may have aspirations to get into it, you know, and you have to hear these stories, honey. You have to hear the struggles and the pains from everyone who has gone through some things so that you can understand it's not all what it's cracked up to be. Yes, darling, the bling and all that is all fabulous to look at, but remember, the business is called show, so most of it is a fucking facade to begin with. Okay, so now what we have to do is understand what is real versus what is the facade that, you know, keeps you entertained. So today we're going to get into some things, and I want to make sure that all of my things are in order. Okay, now before I introduce my guest today, honey, I want to let me clear the ground rules, because I'm already coming out of a bag. And the whole thing of it is, honey, y'all know, I don't know what bag I'm coming out of, just know that I'm coming out of one. So I have to say my disclaimer right here, right now, that Dishing Tea with Big Meech is for mature audiences, and the language and or subject matters that you hear are not for children or anyone who is not mature to handle the subject matter. So your listening discretion is advised. I will repeat that. Dishing Tea with Big Meech is for mature audiences, and the language and or subject matters that you hear are not for children or anyone who is not mature to handle the subject matter. So your listening discretion is advised. Now, this is your cue. If you're at work and all of that, honey, put your headphones on, turn the volume down to a respectful level where it's only you, so that it doesn't become offensive to anyone. If you have children anywhere around, honey, I'm telling you, I don't know what bag I'm coming out of. Just know that I'm coming out of one. So now is the time to go put them in front of Dora the Explorer, in front of SpongeBob SquarePants, in front of Sesame Street, in front of Tiddlywinks, whatever the case is, take them out and let them go. Hell, they should be in school anyway, but for those of you who got toddlers and things of that nature, now is your time. This is going to be an adult hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, depending on how we talk, and this is that time. So, having said all that, none of you bitches are going to be writing me, calling me, phoning me, texting me, this and me, that and me, this and me, or whatever and me, because you did not govern yourselves accordingly. So consider yourselves warned. For those of you who are new to the show, I see this board is lit up. Hello there, children. 917-202-770-347-817-917-917 again. Hey, babies. Okay, I got new numbers and new people. So welcome, welcome. So let me tell y'all this. Honey, I have a potty mouth. I make no excuses for it. I'm 42 years old. I've earned every four-letter word that comes out of my fucking mouth, and the longer ones, too. So at this particular point, honey, consider yourselves warned, and I wish that you would govern yourselves accordingly. If you're on the computer and are listening by computer, honey, the tea room is open. So if you've created a profile page, you can go over there and you can chat in the tea room. You can put questions, comments, and things over up in the tea room. Please note that the tea room, honey, this is the written word. And a lot of times you may read something and think somebody is coming out of a bag or whatever, or trying to bring it. But it may not necessarily be that, honey. You know, it's okay to disagree. Just please don't be disagreeable, because if I come in here and find out that y'all sitting up here ready to throw your computers out the window or out a wall or whatever the case may be, I will cut you. And I mean that with every sincere feeling of my soul, honey. I will give you a combination of Freddy Krueger and Jason from the Friday the 13th with the Michael Beck from Halloween. So having said all that, this is where we are. What I'm going to do here, if you have questions, comments, concerns, wish to call in, wish to say something to my guest, please feel free to do so at 347-205-9183. While you're there, if you want to have something to say, just press the number 1. My monitor will let me know that you have something to say, and we will move on from there, okay? So that there is that. And with that, let me do this, because I want to make sure everything is running. And I can't stand these damn viruses. Let me give you this little public service announcement. For those of you who have Android telephones, because this is just what happened to my phone. If you have an Android phone or one of them smartphones and things, and you open up a website on that phone, and then you plug it up into your computer, you know, from a USB port to charge it or to download or whatever, you would then download a damn virus into your computer. So that's what the hell I'm going through right now. So, you know, like I said, it may be a bit sketchy because I'm trying to maneuver around this thing and make sure it happens. So bear with me, and we will make sure that all this happens, okay? So now let me take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to go into today's show. My guest today is someone, I came across him at a comedy show, but at the same time, it was a movie premiere night. And it was Slice 2, I believe it was. And he has a starring, supporting role in there. And when I came across him, number one, I gravitated to him because he's fine as hell. And that was just my personal thing. But then I said, no, let me not come on like that because, you know, not all heterosexuals, honey, respond kindly. So, and I didn't feel like kicking nobody's ass that night. You know, I was cute and all that. So, you know, we left that alone. But his spirit was one that said, wow, you know, this is a cool brother. Let me see what's going on in his world. And then as we got to talking and this, that, and the other, we bonded and formed a wonderful acquaintanceship, honey, that said to me, let me see what he's about. Well, outside of acting, and he's been in the music industry and been, you know, in the realms of entertainment, he is now embarking on a couple of new endeavors where he's now doing stand-up comedy, and he's also pursuing his directorial debut with creating a new series. So what we're going to do, when I come back from the break, we're going to get into the world of a man who is known as Mr. Inappropriate, and I would let you in on a little secret, honey. Sometimes, you know, sometimes life is inappropriate in itself. So when you listen to him, honey, you'll understand what I mean. When we come back from this, honey, we will be talking with none other than Mr. Damien L. Clark, a.k.a. Mr. Inappropriate. So I'm going to take a couple of seconds, and when I come back, the next voice you will hear outside of mine will be here. So stay tuned. I'll be right back in just a couple of moments. The Big Brothers Network. Yeah, men of color, men of size. The Big Brothers Network was created to celebrate the larger man of color and those who admire him. We intend to promote a positive self-image within our community and the mainstream population. Our goal is to embrace our differences, to inspire self-love, and increase camaraderie through positive brotherly interactions. We intend to accomplish these goals through the BBN magazine, local and national events, and networking forums. For more information or to catch the latest copy of the BBN magazine, please go to www.bigbrothersnetwork.com. That's www.bigbrothersnetwork.com. The Big Brothers Network, men of color, men of size.
The internet sensation is now in print. Get your copy of the book that will not only change your life, but change your thinking as well. Awakenings, Epiphanies Along a Spiritual Journey, is a compelling collection of blogs that have been the pinnacle of spiritual development and discernment for its author, internet talk show host Big Meech. Not only does this body of work offer the insight from his life experiences, it provides the reader an amazing opportunity to go on a journey that will awaken insight into their own higher power while encouraging personal growth and spiritual development. With chapters such as, I cannot give you life, nor can I live it for you. Truth is a bad bitch. It's time for a career change. I am not your God. And in what love do you operate? you will be captivated and compelled to take the life lessons the book has to offer and apply them to your life. To get your copy today of Awakenings, Epiphanies Along a Spiritual Journey, go to www.dishingtea.com, or you can find it on the web at www.amazon.com, or if you prefer an ebook, find it at www.smashwords.com. Awakenings, Epiphanies Along a Spiritual Journey. Are you ready? Are you ready for the journey?
Trade Day Management and Publicity Firm, an Atlanta-based PR production and management consultancy firm specializing in aggressive publicity and exposure campaigns, artist development, leveraging mutually beneficial relationships, and brokering deal with integrity. At Trade Day Management, enjoy a touch of Southern hospitality with a universal appeal. For all of your public relations and entertainment management needs, contact Travion Davenport at 678-523-3088. That's 678-523-3088, or email at tradeaypr@gmail.com. That's tradeay, TREADAYPR at gmail.com. Trade Day Management and Publicity Firm.
To the town. I get the grill, the skills, the pay bills, because I flow better than ever, because my dollar.
And we are back. Hello, 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 darlings. I am back. And for those of you who are just tuning in, honey, yes, we are dishing tea right now. I'm going to ask that you bear with me as I'm sitting up here. My computer has a fucking virus, and I have to navigate through here. So there's a lot of start times and stutters and this, that, and the other, because this damn thing is trying to sit up here and infiltrate. However, one monkey or virus don't stop no show, honey. Did you feel what I'm saying? So with that, we're going to continue on now. As I said, honey, today's show is going to be very, very interesting as we're going to go into the realms of a career of a young man, honey, who I believe is making moves within the entertainment business and the industry. His resume is very impressive and extensive as he's been working on television shows and films such as New York Undercover, Third Watch, Clockers, Brooklyn Babylon. And he's even did a stint on HBO's Real Sex 15. Now, Mr. Damian L. Clark is making strides to further his career and to add to his resume as he dons another moniker: director, producer, and comedian. So we're finna go to get all of the tea as we're finna go to dish about the new project, Broken Bones, where he is making his directorial debut. Plus, we will talk about the ups and downs of the world of coming in as a stand-up comedian. So without any further ado, welcome to Dishing Tea with Big Meats. This is Mr. Damian L. Clark. Hello there. Hello, hello. What's going on, player?
Hey, hey, what's happening? What's happening?
Hey, it's all good on this end, honey. I am everything and everything is moi.
Oh, that's what it is. That's what it is. Well, let me first start by saying thank you. Thank you for, having me on the show. And I'm really appreciative of that. And thank you for all the accolades. I'm very humbled by that. I applaud you, my brother, because, you're doing your thing out there. So, I'm happy to even be spending some time with you right now.
We're all right for spending time. Okay. Let me stop, honey, because, see, when I lived in New York, honey, I had this girl come after me because I used to cook on my job, and she got mad because her husband didn't come home to eat her cooking because he was always full off of mine. And so
Whoa.
She came up to my – yes, she came up to my job, and she was already pregnant, so I gave her an excuse because I knew her hormones were working. And so she tried to check me. And she was like, what is this you cooking for my man? I said, bitch, wait a minute, honey. You getting all the benefits. The money coming home to you. The dick is coming home to you. I said, bitch, you need to be thanking me because that's one dish you ain't got to cook. Bitch, sitting and sweating over stove.
Wow. Okay.
Someone, don't make me come back up here. I said that when you do, bring pencil and pad and take down recipes. You understand? Maybe you can take this home.
You trying to help her situation. You see what I'm saying?
It was a side hustle for me because, I cooked and they were spending money for lunch anyway. So I just said, well, hell, just give me the money you're going to spend for lunch today and I'll make a meal, baby. I fed
awesome.
The kids. So, awesome. That's
that's what it is.
Just a
go ahead
and
just call you Chef Big Meech.
Watch out now, okay, because I cook it more ways than one, baby. Watch out now. Did I say let me leave you alone because you got a wife and children? Let it be now.
Oh, man.
All right. What? With all the joshing and everything, honey, let's get into the world of Mr. Damian L. Clark.
As I'm
continuing to do research on you and looking over your resume and things, and, as I went over and looked on your reel, I remember, when I first met you, I was like, and I kept telling you, I said, I know your face from somewhere. And I kept saying, because I don't forget a face. Names, I'll forget a name, but I don't forget faces. And so when I looked over your reel, then I started, wait a minute. Okay.
I've seen him somewhere. Yes, I have.
Yes. Okay, I get it. I got it. Okay, we can do it that way. So now let's start with the humble beginnings of why this venture was important to you and what was your catalyst for coming into the arts to begin with?
Well, you know, I come from an area in New York called Harlem, and Harlem, New York, you know, that's the arts renaissance era area for black people, you know, 125th Street, you know, Adam Clayton Powell, the Apollo Theater. You got writers like Donald Goines. I mean, it just was a lot of impressive people that came out of my neighborhood. And, you know, I would sit constantly as a kid and watch television. I wasn't a sports person. I really, you know, I was a people person. So I was always in people faces, you know, just doing being performing and whatever. But I always visioned myself on television. Now, unfortunately, certain things weren't promoted to me as a kid in the 70s. You know, it was just kind of like, yo, go get your education and get yourself a job at the post office or, you know, working for transit or something like that. I decided to take my behind downtown and start mingling with the buffies and yuppies that were in the business. And I started to acquaint myself and started to see that this is the world that I wanted to be in. I will never forget, you know, living in a welfare hotel, and I used to break dance and audition for the movie Beach Street. If anybody
goes
that far.
No, you didn't go to Beach Street audition. Shut up.
Yeah. So, you know, I used to dance on the street or whatever, and I went out there and, you know, got a little dancing part in the film, and that just kind of clicked off to me like, hey, this is what I want to do. You know, I was writing graffiti and, you know, beating on the lunchroom table and stuff like that. And I was like, yo, I know this is where I want to go. So I just decided to put myself in the mix. So I'll say that to say this. Any dream that you can conceive, you can achieve just by putting yourself in it and putting your whole heart 110% and energy and, you know, going out there and doing it, pursuing it. So that, you know, that turned into other things. I went away to the Army, you know, I was doing some music, DJing and stuff. And when I came back, I was working, and a lady by the name of Tracy Moore Marable, she used to work down at Tribeca Film Center. She used to walk by my job every single day. And I'd be like, hey, cutie, what's happening? So one day she tells me about an audition for this movie called Kiss of Death. That's the audition. Russo, Nicolas Cage, Ving Rhames, Michael Rapaport. And I went down to 59 Columbus Circle and auditioned and got the part of the car thief. I was still driving trucks and doing warehouse work. And then one day, you know, I'm on set and I get to meet Sam Jackson and Leonard Thomas. And, you know, I'm parlaying with them. And I called Leonard one night and I said, well, hey, what else do you do? Because I was naive. I'm thinking every actor waits tables or something. And he said, no, I'm a professional actor. This is what I do. Well, with that said, I quit my job the next day.
Okay.
I said, this is it. This is it. My wife looked at me like I was absolutely crazy. We were young, married with, you know, young children. And I was like, I'm going to make it. And I never looked back since.
Ooh, now that requires a lot of stepping out on faith and dedication and all of that because, you know, as we all know, honey, the entertainment business, particularly in acting, because those who are singers or whatever, you can always go get you a gig at the little local club or whatever, you know, sing on the street corners, you know, put your hat down and this, that, and the third. But for an actor, you know, this is probably the most popular temporary job or temporary service or industry that there is because you're only as good at the project that you're currently working on.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
You're only as good as your current project. And as long as that's got to run, then you got a job because once it folds or closes, you're on the unemployment line again. And
well,
with our business, honey, you don't get to go down there and file unemployment. Okay.
I had the fortunate background of, you know, I was dancing, doing music, rapping, had a couple of rap singles out. So that kind of, you know, gave me a platform that people already were familiar with me in New York. You know what I mean? So walking the streets of New York, you know, downtown in the Grand Central area, you know, at the parks or whatever in the Bronx, you know, people knew me. They was like, hey, you know, this cat rapping, he running around nice and smooth, DJ Red Alert at the Latin Quarters and all of this. So it kind of already gave me an avenue of people accepting what I was doing. The first time I hit the television screen, man, my phone lit up like you wouldn't believe, and I was a ghetto celebrity right out the gate. But I was just fortunate that I was one to have made it. I mean, there are, I can give you a list of people that I came through the ranks with that we all just kind of stepped into this situation, and, you know, everybody's made something of themselves. I mean, I hate the name drop, but people like Tracy Morgan, Flex Alexander, these are cats that, you know, we all just was, you know, hanging out together, you know, rap groups like Nice and Smooth, Ultra Magnetic MCs, X-Clan, these are also, again, BDP, these are cats that, you know, we used to all run together. So, and before I forget, RIP Chris Lighty, which was an old buddy of mine, he just recently passed away. These are all, you know, attributes that I was sitting there going, hey, this is just a natural progression. So, you know, I just went in there, and I always would tell people, listen, I'm not a classically trained, I'm not a school trained, I'm just, this is what it is. And that natural ability, you know, thank God I was blessed with that, and it just came across. And, it, you know, it just happened. It just happened.
Okay. Well, here now let's transition into Live Wires. For those of you wondering, okay, the song that I played just before coming out of the break, that was one of the selections, honey, from old Live Wires back in your hip hop rapping days and carrying on. So would you, first off, would you say that you are a part of the hip-hop generation? Because all of that, you know, as I listen to the music and everything, you know, you came in hitting that was very popular, that was very big. So would you say that you are, because I'm an old school head, you know, and I'm old hip-hop.
I'm
old hip-hop when it first started, you know, and,
there you
and
go.
You know, when it was fun and all that.
Three, Funky Four plus one more.
You know,
Grandmaster Flash. That's where I came from. The block parties and stuff like that, where two turntables hooked up to the damn light in the middle of the street, and we just did the damn thing. Cardboard boxes, Lee jeans with the permanent crease and pair of Pumas.
You better understand a Lee jean with the permanent damn crease that you took to the clean. You better understand.
I had a toothbrush to clean my suede Pumas. At all times, I stayed fresh.
Did you say suede Pumas? Don't make me hit
yes,
you.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm just saying. You know, I had my Lee jacket with the acrylic paint of the graffiti character on the back with the collar up. You know, that was the sheepskins, you know, a 40-ounce of Old English, and we were just out there doing we just out there doing a thing, man. But I don't really listen to today's hip hop. It kind of got crazy, and I just, you know, I come from an era that we were saying something. We had some character. We had some exploratory views that we wanted to get out there. And you know, today I don't know if they're saying nothing because I don't understand what they're saying to begin with. So. You know, in my opinion,
okay, you moving and your phone is starting to break up. Get stationary.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
Because I know you're traveling,
I'm
trying to go get a cocktail or something, whatever. Get stationary because all that.
Am I better for you? Am I better for you? Can you hear me now?
No, not yet. Not yet. Try it again.
Can you hear me now?
No.
You can't hear me now.
Man. Almost.
Almost. I tell you what, watch
time.
This. I'm gonna do it like this. Watch this. I'm gonna do it fly style. Hold on.
No, you're all broken up. Okay, you're probably in the bad spot. So let me do this.
Can you hear me now?
I'm gonna take a little break, get you together, and then when we come back, let me get you to a better spot, and then we can take it on from there. So we'll be right back again. Y'all know how this is, child. Don't get all crazy. We'll be right back in just a few moments.
Thank you.
Trigg Laboratories manufactures premium sexual wellness and consumer healthcare products and is the parent company of Wet International Incorporated, one of the world's best-selling.
Hey. Are you looking for that special place to take someone for a good down-home southern meal and some live entertainment? Well, have I got the place for you. Right here in the underground Atlanta, we have the Georgia Peach Restaurant and Lounge. Enjoy southern hospitality and southern fusion cuisine. This is the perfect place to dine and mingle while experiencing a home-like atmosphere. Stop by and enjoy invigorating jazz and blues music with live entertainment on the weekends. We're open Monday through Saturdays. Lunch is served from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. Dinner served from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. Appetizers from 10 p.m. until close. Sunday brunch, 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. If you are a government employee, military personnel, or an airline employee, you will enjoy a 10% discount on all of your dine-in food. Located in the underground Atlanta, right there at Kenny's Alley in the heart of Atlanta, you have the Georgia Peach Restaurant and Lounge. For more information, contact them at 404-348-4300. That's 404-348-4300. Or go online and look them up at www.dinegapeach.com. That's www.dinegapeach.com. The Georgia Peach Restaurant and Lounge. Southern hospitality and Southern fusion cuisine. Trigg Laboratories manufactures premium sexual wellness and consumer healthcare products and is the parent company of Wet International Incorporated, one of the world's best-selling lines of personal lubricants and intimacy products. We carry a large variety of personal and flavored lubricants, flavored heating massage lotions, and aromatherapy heating massage oils. Whether you need a little or a lot, Wet has you covered. Our line of high-quality, innovative, and unique products are formulated using only the finest ingredients at our FDA-approved facility, meeting the strictest manufacturing standards. Wet is available worldwide at specialty stores and online retailers and at pharmacies nationwide. For more information or to find a retailer near you, log on to www.stayswetlonger.com. Trigg Laboratories. We create fun, quality, trusted products to innovate your intimacy.
The Caribbean American Boys Entertainment. We specialize in jerk and conch food catering, party promotions and emceeing, entertainment with the Caribbean swagger, island fever on the mainland, bam bam. We also provide customized tour guides through gay-friendly Bahamas to all the hot spots of dining and club life events. Mr. Savano T. DeMarco is the founder and CEO of the CABC. For more information, please contact him at CaribbeanBoysATL@yahoo.com. That's Caribbean Boys with a Z, ATL, at yahoo.com, or on Facebook at facebook.com/Savano T. DeMarco. That's facebook.com/Savano T. DeMarco. Caribbean American Boys Entertainment. Island fever on the mainland. Bam, bam.
Hello, hello, hello. It is another glorious Wednesday, my tea sippers, and you know what time it is. So get your cup of...
Hi, this is Carrick from Hotlanta, and I'm dishing tea with Big Meech on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Silvano T. DeMarco with Caribbean American Boys Entertainment, and I am dishing tea with Big Meech on Blog Talk Radio. Bam, bam, bam.
Alrighty then, here we go again with another one of these old fantastic little pauses that this damn computer is sending me on and is getting on my nerves. So what we're going to do is just preempt that. That was another selection from Live Wires, the rap duo that Mr. Damian Clark was a part of. And as soon as this thing okay, here we go. There we go. Thank you so much. All right, and we are back. And again, I have to keep apologizing. I'm telling y'all, I'm working with the virus in this computer, and it is freezing, it is stopping, it is giving me all kinds of fever and carrying on. But like I said, one monkey don't stop no show. So here we go. Damien, you back?
I'm here.
Mr. Inappropriate. Okay. Trying to feature you in Live Wires, honey. You know, from back in the day.
You're taking me back, bro.
I'm sure. But, you know, that there is how I do. You know, when I do my research, I like to bring folks in and to let you know, see, this is about your body of work. And
right,
being in the
right.
entertainment industry, here's the question. Because during this time when you were recording and all of that, what was being on the road like and being in this particular avenue of the business? And what the second part of that question is, what was the greatest lesson that you learned during these particular times?
Well, first off, on the road, we had a ball. I mean, we got to see things that we wouldn't have seen if we wasn't doing what we was doing. I mean, I was riding in nice limos, you know, in fancy hotels and getting off stage and chicks just trying to get at you and you're getting all kinds of free stuff. I mean, Spike Lee used to sponsor our rap group, so we was always fresh to death, head to toe with you know, his wares from his store in Brooklyn. And, you know, we just had a ball. But when I started to meet more people, I mean, brother, I met Stevie Wonder, I met Little Richard, just through the travels of music and acting. And one of the first things that really stood out to me was when my man Smooth B dropped this jewel on me. He said, family first, entertainment second. He said, that's the key. You got that balance, then you'll be okay. And unfortunately, I heard him, but I didn't listen. And so I had a pitfall after pitfall, you know, with my own personal endeavors because I wasn't really focused on family. My head was big. I couldn't walk in a room and think that it wasn't about me. So I say that to say to all those that are listening out there that are in the game or trying to get in the game, keep your grounding, keep your focus. This stuff don't last forever, and if it does, it's only because of God's grace. And make sure that you don't make enemies on your road and travels.
Now, you know, let's go right there because let's address that particular portion of this. The whole idea of the big head, you know, you know, the whole idea of you don't know your shit stank. Folks been telling you that it does, but then you got your yes men around you saying, "Nah, dog, it ain't all that bad. You all good," and this, that, and the other. What was that for you in this particular arena? Because everyone always associates the entertainment business, sex, drugs, rock and roll. Okay,
and that it
so
was,
when you,
brother.
You know,
it
so
was.
Okay, put it out there. Put it out there the
it,
way that
it really
you want
was.
To get it
I
out
mean,
there.
A lot of my early on career was foggy because I was high all the time, and I'm gonna keep it gangster with y'all. You know, I was sitting in after hours spots till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. People buying me drinks, putting drugs in front of me, and, you know, loose women and all kind of stuff. And man, I, you know, that was just, it was embarrassing as I got older. But I know now that, you know, I had to go through those things to appreciate my career. And there's a lot of people out there, they might not tell you. It might seem all roses and gravy, but believe you me, a lot of people have been through it. You've seen the destruction of a lot of artists and entertainers in their career, how they became self-destructive. Well, it's out there. You know what I mean?
And what kept you from becoming the whole self-destructive of being caught up in that era or the element of self-destructiveness? Really?
My ego.
Really? Explain that.
My ego. I was determined I wasn't going to be what I saw 10 other. Like I always had an old saying, there's 9 crackheads on the block. What makes you think that you need to be number 10? Just as simple as that. You know what I'm saying? And you could take that any kind of way. You can look at it and say, hey, if I see 10 people before me falling through a hole that's in the middle of the street, why the heck am I not going to go left or go right? Why would I walk straight into it? Well, I was teetering, and my ego was telling me, dude, you are too fabulous to be doing this. So knock it off. And you know, my wife left me, you know, for a short period because I was just too over the top. And that right there, you know, it destroyed me. I mean, you know, so I had to get my thing together.
Interesting. Okay, now what was the phase out of music? When you decided, okay, let me come out of this particular element and disband it or however that was with
your partner,
what was that?
I transcended because the checks were bigger.
Oh, dig
when that. I got into the acting game, I reached more people. You know, obviously, you know, more people are going to watch TVs and movies than listen to records. And the check was bigger. So I was able to afford my lifestyle and take care of my family off of television and film. So that was the move for me. You know,
now, did it cause friction with you and your rap partner?
Well, at first I brought him along with me, you know, and then we kind of outgrew each other. I had different views and different things that I wanted to, you know, get to, and he wasn't seeing the same vision. So, you know, we had to say, hey, I'll catch you on the next go round. And that's when I did my solo album, and, you know, it just was what it was.
Dig that.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't let nothing stop me from reaching the goal. The goal was to be popular.
Interesting goal. And did you achieve that goal, and at what price?
I achieved the goal, and at the price of my family, at the price of, you know, being self-destructive, you know, just, you know, out there hanging out all the damn time, not getting no rest, not really taking care of my finances right. So that was the price I paid. But at the same time, when I walked through the streets or I was, you know, out somewhere, hey, there go Dame, you know, and that felt good, but it was empty because I was in a room full of 1,000 people and I still felt by myself sometimes.
Okay. Interesting. Now,
you know, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish that thought.
I was just about to say that, you know, everybody wants to be in this entertainment business, but everybody ain't built for it.
Okay. And what do you think are the what's the workout? What is the workout to have the build for it?
Well, you got to have thick skin. You got to be willing and able to accept that you are not the shit all the time, that somebody else is going to come take that spot. And when you can do that, then you can navigate yourself through it and you don't take yourself too serious.
Okay. Very
I take myself as a serious person to be dealt with, but I don't take myself too serious that this is what it is and it's never going to, you know, it might not last forever. I always say that to myself, like, yo, you hot today, but you might not be hot tomorrow. So, you know, capitalize on everything you can get right now.
Okay. You become leftovers real quick, honey. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes if you leave a leftover in the I said you could become leftovers real quick. And
yeah,
sometimes when you
my
leave,
phone wasn't ringing.
Exactly. You know? That's because they left the leftovers in the refrigerator too long and they started to spoil. Okay. You had to throw it out. Now, here is the interesting psyche that I want to go to, because you just said something that I found to be very fascinating, and that was, you know, at the prime of all of that, and you were in your youth, you know, you had the Spike Lees and everything as, you know, the venture capital, those who were willing to put the backing behind you and this, that, and the other, and all of that. What was your psyche, and how did it change when you didn't have that anymore? It wasn't at your beck call.
I went into a deep depression. I went into a very deep depression. You know, I was living off of fumes at that point, you know, what I did. this is what I did. And, you know, Cassius is looking at me like, yeah, that's what you did. What are you doing?
Okay.
So that's when I had to pick myself up by my bootstraps, shake it off, and get back in the game with fresh, new, innovative things that I was about. I had to reevaluate myself and say, hey, what are you bringing to the table now? That's like in a relationship. When you get married in the beginning, yeah, you brought everything to the table, but 7 years later, you start to fall off. That's when things get rocky. You got to continue to be a bringer of things to the table.
Okay. Okay. Cutesy, cutesy. Now, here's the question. Because just like, okay, you know, we have a new program on R&B Divas, you know, with the girls, you know, who had everything at one point in time in their career. And now they're at this point of redeveloping, restructuring. You know, I don't want to call them has-beens because, I think that's just a derogatory term. You're a has-been. But at the same time, they too, going through the financial struggles and carrying on. The money don't come in. The residual checks ain't coming in no more. And then the music world has changed, and the business has changed to where, hell, they can't even get airplay. So now here you are as the actor who phased out of music. You know, if it had not been for me researching you, hell, this particular music, I remember hearing a couple of cuts here and there, but I don't remember it in its fullness. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm sure if I don't, that's not getting played. So none of the royalties or whatever that were in the contracts are being served. So now how is that? What did you learn from that as far as the business of
I learned to stop being so giddy and so excited and starstruck, thinking that everybody had my best interests at heart, because they didn't. And now, you know, now I look at what's the long-term goal of this? What's the long-term benefit of it? Not the short-term. Don't give me a beeper and a cell phone and tell me, here's a car in your driveway. No, I'm looking for stocks. I'm looking for investments. I'm looking for a piece of the pie so that even when I'm not doing it, it's still being done.
Ah, dig that. Okay.
You know.
Dig
that.
Oh,
by the way, I'm sorry. I got to make a quick shout-out. My sister's on the phone with us. That's Brittany B. Dillinger. You there, Brittany? I guess not. I thought that she was there, but I guess I'll try to call her and patch her in.
Well, if she's listening, honey, she can call in at 347-205-9183. Just call that number, and then we'll go from there. 347, okay. I saw you had your hand up. I'm coming. Okay, there you go. We got a call coming in. Let's take this call, and let's see who. 347-546, I'm coming to you right now. Hey, baby, you're dishing tea with Big Meech, and say hello to Damian Clark.
Hi, brother dear. This is little
That's
sister.
My sister right there.
Good. Okay. Hey, darling.
How are you, sweetie?
I am everything, and everything is me.
Yeah. Okay. I know that's right.
Okay. So now let me. Okay, as the sister. Okay, you're coming up and I take it you're the younger sister.
I'm his younger brother, now transgender sister. Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay. That's cute, honey.
Yes.
Okay. That's cute. But here's the ticket. So you're the younger sister.
Yes.
And what was this particular industry for you, looking at it from the outside in, and at the time that Damian was going through this, you were where in your life, because now that you're transitioning and all of that, what was all of this business for you?
The business for me was very exciting. It was very intriguing, and I wanted to be a part of it. Watching my brother go through, and like he said, he was big-headed. He was into himself. He wasn't really into family that much. But he would do his little drive-bys, his little, you know, stop-and-goes or whatever the case may be, and he pulled me in on a couple of things like New York Undercover, Third Watch. But I wanted to be like the right hand. I wanted to be the star. I wanted to be in the spotlight, you know, such as my brother. And because I wasn't able to, I kind of acted out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, in the middle of my position, because I didn't even know at that point where I belonged. You know, I had this little fine young man, you know, walking around the house one minute, next minute he wasn't in the house, next minute people was asking him for his autograph. And as you can see, you know, where he's at right now, he looks good. But imagine him 20 years ago. And I mean, like,
honey,
you know,
I got the footage, baby. I got the footage.
He was the finest thing on the block. And I was like, you know, light skin, curly hair, like, you know, he would put on, like, you know, electric blues, yellows, pinks. And I was like, oh, my God, like, I want to be a part of that. I wasn't considered dark skin, but I was dark skin because my line, my bloodline was kind of like, you know, red bone. So I kind of felt kind of different from the gate.
Oh, well, dig that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So now, after you got your taste of it, what was it that Damien did with you to be the big brother, the big coach or whatever? Or did you have to sit up there and learn it on his own? Because as he just revealed, you know, because of his ego being out of whack, you know, probably he couldn't see that or hear that at the time. So what did you pull from that and things?
Well, the Clarks was fashionistas from the beginning. Like, my mother was, like, a fashionista. Like, you know, everything she put on, she wore the best of her ability. When my brother threw it on, he threw it on the way he, you know, knew how to throw it on. When I threw it on, it was like, you know, I was throwing it on from a different aspect because I was doing it for free. So when I had the opportunity for Dame to pull me in, even though I was in the streets, I kind of fell back a little bit because now I'm in somebody else's world. So it kind of gravitated. I kind of gravitated to it, you know, somewhat. I didn't go to school for it. I kind of learned everything on my way. So what I did was I closed my mouth and I opened my ears and I just went along.
Okay. Okay. Okay, now, Dame, here we go. Now, you are here. You're on the hot little shows, you know. You know, did the New York Undercover, honey, which, at, you know, when I look back over the footage, you know, you and Michael DeLorenzo could pass for brothers, if not cousins or whatever. So,
I used to do his stunt doubles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You were just determined. Entertainment is just all in your blood. Now, you done stunt it. Okay, you done in the music, you clothing, okay.
Yeah, I used to model also for Shabazz Brothers. You've seen their clothing on shows like Moesha, New York Undercover, a lot of the urban shows. You definitely saw Shabazz Brothers on. I used to model for them. You know, my brother used to style me, like make sure I was looking right when I went out and everything. So, yeah, I kind of touched all the bases.
Okay. Okay, a jack of all trades. Now, which one did you master?
All of them. I mastered being an entertainer.
Dig that.
I am an entertainer. You put me in any spectrum, and I'm going to entertain you.
Okay. I'm digging that. I'm feeling it. I'm saying that because a lot of us who enter into this business, you know, we end up having our hands in you know, as in a multiplicity of things, just in an array and all in the abyss, just so that, you know, we can become known, folks to understand who we are and this, that, and the other, because my goal is to make it. At least that is my goal. That's how the radio show came about, you know, because you know, wanting to make sure that, you know, my contributions are there. You know,
right.
I too. Now, Brittany, I take it that in your transition, because I'm a transgender activist, so in your transition, were you into the ball circuit and into the gender illusionist world as well?
Yes. I am and was. I started out in the house of Aphrodite. I moved on to the house of Ebony a little bit over 10 years plus. And now I'm over on Mother Herrera, which simulates out of Chicago, Illinois.
The house of Ebony. Did you know Stanley?
I knew everybody. I'm legendary. special.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, wait. Wait. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Okay.
While we're on me, let me just interject just a little bit. I'm also a transgendered rapper trying to break into the hip-hop industry as well.
Oh, girl. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, and so now she's going to get it done.
I've also dressed people like Foxy Brown, Sherry Dennis, Little Mo. I've worked for Floss Magazine with Christian Roth. I also work with Ty Chun from MVC Management.
Yes.
A Flip Mode Squad. I work with Mob Squad, with June Ambrose, Ricardo, all of them. Like, I have a long line of stuff too. And
interesting.
I just briefly did something with Dwight out of Atlanta's Housewives, from Atlanta's Housewives.
Oh, okay. Okay.
This is getting heavy, huh, Meech?
Well, no, not heavy. It's just that, you know, I won't go there just yet. I won't go there just yet. Because I don't know her. I just know her.
No, listen.
I just know her from the show.
I've never met
this child face to face or nothing. So, all of, huh?
Meech, you did say your mouth was kind of loose at the beginning of the show. So, whatever you need to say, say it, darling. Don't hold back to you now, honey.
See, the whole thing of it is, you know, the opinions and things that I have are only based on the show, and that whole housewife and a lot of this genre of reality television is not sitting well with me because of what we have been projecting. And a lot of us in the LGBT community are, you know, I believe this is becoming the new mammy. You know, back in the day when black folks were stepping, fetching and carrying on and booging out and tap dancing, you know, to appease the white folks. Now we are at a stage where, because our heterosexual counterparts are looking to identify what is gay and the snap queen, and, you know, down here in Atlanta, you know, these butch queens want to be up in pumps as if they walk in a ball. So, okay, so you got pumps and purses on the street. And that's not a bad thing, because I used to carry my purses and stuff as well. But at the same time, what we have now is that this is being projected worldwide. When we look at it, and it goes over to Africa and to Asia and this, that, and the other, a lot of those countries like Uganda who are looking to, you know, they're killing gay folks over there simply for the fact of them being gay. And then this is the kind of representation that we have on the television and carrying on. And then everything that's there, there's nothing masculine, honey. Everybody's a butch queen or femme queen. There's not an equal representation to show the array of how we come. And so that there is the thing that I'm having with a lot of it, because
I'm
6'4".
And you know what? And that's where B. Dot Dillinger comes in, you know what I'm saying? Because I rep BK New York, you know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to bring that aspect level to the forefront, you know what I'm saying? Where there is a middle person and it's still part of the LGBT community, because you do have your femme queens, you do have your butch queens, and then there's a balance of an in-between of a person that's like, you know, dag, I want to come out, but I'm so scared, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't know, you know, how the world is going to perceive me. So with B. Dot Dillinger comes like a lot, and then, you know, you're being an activist, you know, you have to speak on our behalf with us acting and doing reality, or, you know, our publicist has to, you know, take notice of this and speak up for us. You know what I'm saying? Because we're just doing what we do best. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thankful and I'm grateful that there's an avenue for us right now, because, you know, a lot of us come from, you know, hairstylists, fashion,
and that's
stylist,
the catch-22 in
artists,
and you're right.
The scenes. So now that the cameras are turned on us, it's like, yo, we got to go buck wild. We got to kill it. You understand what I'm saying? While the opportunity has arisen. You understand where I'm coming from?
Exactly. That's the big catch-22 in it, because everything that you just said, you're right. Because, again, that was the steps that we took as black folks, because, okay, we have this platform. Okay, this is the way that they're going to accept us in. So we got to take it now so that we can get in the door and then change it. Now, here's something that you just said, very interesting. And, Damon, this goes back to you. Because now you're in a renaissance of everything, because you stepped out, you know, you've had the accolades of being in front of the camera, you're still doing your acting thing, and this, that, and the other. But what about the team of people? what has changed in the team? Because before, when you was with the music and everything, you had all the yes men and this, that, and the other, and those that wanted to. You know, Vesta Williams said this so wonderfully on her Unsung before she passed, may she rest in peace. And that was, she said, honey, there is people that are there to help make sure they get as much money out of you as they can. So, you know, to make sure that you spend it, just to be spending, you know, uncontrollably and this, that, and the other. So now what has been, what is your team of people looking like for Team Clark, for Team Mr. Inappropriate? What has that been for you? And did you bring in Brittany as a part of the team, or have you guys had to sit up there, okay, this is my team and this is my team here, because the direction is different?
Well, you know, I had to let go of a lot of people. I did have to, you know, discard some people and reevaluate who was around me. I mean, I think I have a great team right now. I got a partner in crime, comedian D'Amico. I have a muse, if I'd like to use that word. B.B. Houston, who is, you know, guiding some of my endeavors. I work with the Fat Comedy team here in Atlanta, and they've been doing comedy shows for 10 years. So, you know, I'm doing a lot of hosting things for them. Big plug for me right now on September 14th at the Village Theater. It's going to be me, Marvin Hunter, Janet Dollar, Shaq Double D, and comedian D'Amico is going to be hosting it. I hope to see people out in the house. I had to sit there and say, who's got my best interest? And I understand going into it that they have to have their interest into it also. And yes, you know, I try to bring in Brittany as whatever capacity I can bring her in as, and also help guide whatever situation that she steps into. So it's for me, it's about now knowing that the people that are closest to me are for real. You know what I mean? I don't need the yes people. I need people to really tell me what the real deal is from a perspective that I might not be standing in at that time. I try to be very worldly in knowing that, you know, I have to reach a lot of family out there. I got a lot of family out there. Thank God that I do have fans that, you know, appreciate what I do. And I have to know that going into it, they might come from all different kinds of walks of life. So I don't want to alienate anyone. I want to embrace all of those things.
Okay, now that goes here. Let's now matriculate here to you coming into the realms of comedy. You know, I've been told, you know, a lot of folks say this to me all the time, and I think they just say it because they know I'm gay and because of my speech pattern. You know, and how I talk, and yes, I can be very dramatic at times, and I consider myself to be a good storyteller, but I don't think of myself as a comedian. So, you know, as an actor, now I could do sketch comedy. You give me a script, baby, okay, as long as it's scripted, shit, I will wear you out. However,
oh, yeah, that's right. You did do Love Atlanta Style season one, didn't you?
No. No, that wasn't me.
Oh, okay. You did something with Bobby Peoples.
Words to Kill. And it was money power respect.
Money
with,
power
respect. Peoples. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And I
came
up with doing Love Atlanta Style 2 for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So doing that, you give me a script, honey, I can work a script. But as far as just, you know, giving me a mic and saying I have to write material or whatever and want folks to be, and, you know, to make folks laugh, I don't have that skill, I don't think. You know, not the way that I think. You know, a lot of folks don't know this, but, you know, the drag world and all of that, honey, yes, Samantha Stevens Divinity is alive and well. She's on hiatus right now. However, she's alive and well. And, you know, I do a lot of camp and stuff in my shows or whatever. You know, I take my titties out and I throw them at folks and that kind of stuff and this, that, and the third. You know, so, with that, you know, yeah, kiki, ha, 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 ha. But as far as taking a microphone and standing flat foot or just pacing the stage here and there to talk to the folks and this, that, and the other, and to expound on life in a comedic fashion, I don't believe I have that skill. At least not anything consciously. What said to you, okay, I need to step out on this and do this?
Well, when I moved down to Atlanta, you know, I told you I was revamping my life and trying to get it together. I had a great opportunity to wait tables. And in my career of waiting tables, you know, I would just be funny at tables, you know, talk to my guests. And somebody asked me one day, are you a comedian? Because that I would love to come see you. And that seed kind of grew. And within 2 years, I decided that was what I was going to do. And I stepped out and I got on stage January 7th was my first time on stage. And I just got out there and started telling my story, you know, and my story had a lot of funny to it. Obviously, this is a craft and you have to take it serious. So, you know, I do write constantly and I'm developing, you know, different things constantly. But I just got out there and just, you know, just did what I do best, which is talk. And it went over well. You know, been on several stages down here, several comedy rooms, and, you know, I get the same response. When I talk, people listen. And I appreciate that. Because if you listen to my story, I'm pretty sure that it's going to have some connection to you, because everybody goes through similar things, even though they're different in the bigger
mm-hmm.
scheme of things. So, you know, mm-hmm. I just get on stage and do what I do, and I haven't had that fear. I get the butterflies every time I step on a stage, but when I get out there, man, I'm in a totally different mode. I just go out there and do what I do best. And you know what? I'm going to keep rolling because it's really rocking right now. I performed at over 20 spots here in Atlanta in the last 8 months. And, you know, I got more dates to come, and it's going really well to the point where I got a line of T-shirts that is about to come out with I'm So Inappropriate on them based on the fact that I'm Mr. Inappropriate.
Okay, and why did you decide to take on that moniker? Because, you know, to have that and then have you – let me ask, have you branded that name yet? Because – in researching you, I done came across a couple of different Damien Clarks with different spellings. I done came across 15,000 different Mr. Inappropriates. So what
well,
makes
Damien
your
Mr.
inappropriateness
is,
different?
Damien Mr. Inappropriate is in the current stages of being branded. I say the things that you really want to say. Sometimes, you know, we've been in places and we, you know, down south here in the south, you know, everybody's cordial and nice and you know, bless your heart and all of that. Well, me, I'm going to just tell you like it is, you know. If the baby's ugly, the baby's ugly, and that's pretty much what I got, you know.
Okay.
I you know, when I thought about where I was going with this comedy thing, I had to think to myself, well, who's the bad guy? Since everybody's funny, who's the bad guy? Where's the Andrew Dice Clays? Where's the Sam Waterston? You know, where are these guys at? And that's where I found that was going to fit my niche. I'm not an angry comic, but I will say some things that make you go, oh, wow, did he just say that? Because that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to give you something to think about, that's all.
Okay, just something to think about, he says. Well, you know what? Let's go there, because, you know, when you came out and went into this arena, who were some of the people that you studied outside of the Dice Clays and the Watsons and carrying on? Who were some
Bernie
of your
Mac. Bernie Mac was one of my favorites. Mark Cooper, Jerry Seinfeld, Pierre Edwards. You know, these are some of the people that I looked at and said, hey, I like what they're doing, and I get it. Sometimes it'll hit you in the car. You might not understand the joke while you're sitting in your seat, but it'll come to you when you get in the car. And a prime example of that is, you know, I got a couple of, believe it or not, I have a couple of things in my set that have to do with, you know, family members and whatnot. Brittany, I know that you've seen some of my sets, so you know, you don't take it as a bad thing, but Brittany has been part of my set since I started.
okay.
Yeah, because it just was really funny to me. you know, I come out on one of my sets, and one of my favorite jokes. It is one of my favorite jokes because it's a personal thing for me. As a kid, you know, growing up, my brother was pretty much my mom's favorite, and you know, she kind of thought it was cute when he was walking around in her heels at 6, 7 years old. You know what happens when a kid wears their mother's heels when they grow up? He wants the same thing a woman wants. Dick. I found out about my brother's sexual orientation by accident. I came home from the Army, and I called him up, and I'm like, "Bring, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, Fred? How you doing? Hey, Damien, how you doing?" I was like, whoa. But I wasn't judgmental. But now my brother has taken a life of his own, so now my brother's my sister. And when my wife asks, how do I look in this dress, I say, ask Brittany. That's the fashionista.
Okay. Get it off of me, honey. Go ask her. Okay.
Yeah.
But okay, nah, y'all can go shopping together. Hell.
Exactly. You know, I just take real life and I just find the funny in it. You know what I mean? But in all seriousness, I love the fact that me and Brittany have a closeness now that we didn't have as a growing up. We kind of, you know, went our separate ways, and you know, I was a little bullheaded and didn't really accept certain things in my younger years. But now, you know, I can say I wish I could take all that time back. But right now, you know, me and Brittany are very close.
Well, you know, one of the things that as you know about life, honey, and this is something that I teach folks when you're dealing with coming across and dealing with LGBT culture, and that the separation is not to be looked upon as a bad thing. Yes, it hurt at the time because, you know, the closeness may have been, you know, put in a spot and it's at a disarray right now. However, what that does is that the crutches of life then are removed, and everything that you know, you have to pull from your strength in order to survive this thing. Because when you start this walk and start to take whatever your journey is, honey, the biggest thing you will understand is you're going to be on this on your own and whatever you believe to be your higher power. Yes, family and friends and all of that are cute to be there with you, but there are some things that they're not going to be there for, that you have to do all alone and all by yourself and learn some of the lessons. So within that separation, it took you that time in order to get it, because then you went on. And then I'm sure God put in your face everything that reminded you of Brittany, or everything
exactly.
that Brittany was going through, in
come
order
on.
For you to learn how to deal with it from another perspective.
Come on,
and
come on.
Then the personal perspective came because you were able to relate. And when you start to see the struggle that somebody else was going through, then it became an oh my God moment. Is this what she was going through?
Exactly.
That's what the connection is. So when you came back together, you were able to be a little bit more empathetic and this, that, and the other. At the same time, Brittany had to understand who Brittany was, because she's coming from a former self. She's coming out of the shadows of the big, fine, older brother who had everybody lurking at him, who had all of the this and all of the that and this, that, and the other. And now I got to come out of the shadow of that to make my own. And how do I do that? You know, with so much pressure, I'm in an uproar because I don't know what the hell is going on with me. I don't understand why it is I'm looking this way but feeling another way. And then all of that. So then you had to take all that, and now to say that I'm no longer a gay man, I'm a heterosexual woman. Woo. Okay, that whole trip. And then dealing with societal issues on that, and then still not being fully accepted here. I'm only existing in gay culture because this is where my niche is. All of my friends are here, know me. They know me here. I'm comfortable. But yet I still got to step out of this in order to be me. And then these bitches don't understand it. They thinking this with that and the third. You know, they want me on the whole stroll or whatever the case.
Ooh,
and all
on.
Of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
all of that. So the separation is just a part of life to where your experiences then say, okay, when we come back together, now we have something to talk about so we can learn one another and grow together as family.
You said that. You said that, and I thank you for saying that on my behalf, because if I had to say it, I don't know what I exactly would have said. When I lost my mom 5 years ago, you know, that was my mother's biggest thing that she wanted, both of her sons, you know, now her daughter, to actually get together and, you know, do a movement, because we were both two talented people. We were both talented in our own areas in life. And I think that if we could have came together sooner, it could have been more miraculous. You know what I'm saying? It could have been more powerful. It could have been more fire to the flame. But like you said, separation, like, you know, Dame had to go through what he had to go through on his behalf, and I had to go through what I had to go through on my behalf. Living as a transgendered woman, I mean, like, it was some painful night. You know, even on this phone right now, like, I have tears in my eyes. Wow. But I believe God, because, like, what I did was I said, and I went into my secret place, and I said, you know what, God, what do I do? And he said, let it go. Put it on the altar and leave it there. And trust in me, and I'll take care of the rest of it for you. And I think I did that maybe about 3 years ago. And within the 3 years, things started unfolding. You know what I'm saying? This is the actual first year that me and my brother, like, you know, just to hear him say his sister, you know, knowing that, you know, from birth, like, you know, I'm his brother. You know what I'm saying? But just to hear him say that out of his mouth, I know that God is powerful. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Exactly.
I'm so grateful for him. I'm so grateful for what I had to go through, because if I didn't have to go through it, I wouldn't be the woman that I am today. I love Damien from the bottom of my heart. I thought that it was, you know, it was a big inspiration to me when he called me and he said that he wanted me to be a part of his interview, because I'm on my way to work. Now I have to call out. But I'm thankful and I'm grateful for this opportunity, for this moment. You understand where I'm coming from? And there's so many other transgendered people that are going through that don't know, like, you know, whether they want to live or die, because there's some people that's going through some stuff in their home where they're not accepted. And that's why B. Dot Dillinger has to be born. That's why I have to become a household name, so that I can speak on the behalf of these 13 and 14 and 15-year-olds where their parents don't understand.
Exactly.
And
either they don't understand or don't want to understand. Because at this particular stage now, you know, just as Damien had to come, Damien came in at a time where it was trial and error, okay, and understanding your transition. Well, now, you know, we're talking about it on Dateline NBC and on 2020 and how transgender children, you know, they start off at 4 and 5 years old. We got the little book, honey, my little boy wants to be a princess girl, or he wants to be a princess boy, or whatever that book is. You know, the forefront and the information and stuff is out there, and it requires us to want to ascertain it. And a lot of us, we got, you know, too religified or whatever, and, you know, because it's not our journey, a lot of folks think that they're supposed to always understand it. No, you may not get it. You may not get it, but at least be open enough to receive the information. Understand it's not your journey. But understand also that everybody's journey is different. Just like I don't do drugs, but I can't I don't like being around crackheads because they fucked up. But at the same time, I cannot really pass that kind of judgment, because whatever that is that you got to go through, honey, that's not mine. My journey was sex. Sex was my addiction. So while you out there trying to get, you know, blow a crack pipe, I was in that same alley, honey, sucking on the dick or whatever, because I couldn't stop myself.
Come on.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So and that there is just the real of it. That there is a part of life. Everybody got those little things and those quirks and those private moments, you know, that and that light, honey, that they don't want nobody to see them in. You
right.
know, because we put on that facade. And again, I go back to when I was talking to you before about the whole understanding what's real from what is the facade. And the entertainment industry is all about the facade. The drag world, honey. Everybody know, honey, that you own beer bottle pockets, sitting up here trying to have a Diana Ross wardrobe. Bitch, I'm 6'4". I'm 443 pounds. Now, you know I can't go nowhere off the buy off the rack nowhere. I wear a size 14 man shoe, which is a 16, 17 woman's, which means that's a special order shoe all day. So, you know, trying to sit up here and get all of this and get all of that, and then, you know, you have to get creative, and then you got the stunt girls, and yes, I done pulled a couple of stunts in my day too, but realized that journey wasn't for me. And that leads me to this question with you, Damien. What were the back alley stuff that you had to go through in order to make it to say, okay, this is what we got to do? You know, some of those dry moments, some of those moments where you was like, okay, I don't know if this is right, but then you knew it was wrong or whatever, the moments where, shit, we got to get this gig together or whatever. You know, the struggling days, shit, hell, go up in there, order a two-piece and eat the damn thigh, honey, and say the chicken was too cold and you not bit the shit out that motherfucker and sent it back, okay, just to get a fresh piece and you can have three pieces.
Let me tell you, man. Yo, I had to go out there and hustle in the streets for studio time and make sure that we could make those records and, you know, get up in distributors' faces and have a little floss so that they can, you know, buy into the whole idea. Making sure that, you know, I was borrowing clothes from cats that I knew that had extensive wardrobes because I didn't have no gear, but I knew I had to come out there looking fresh. And so those were times when I was on my down, but, you know, I realized that those were just stepping stones to get me to where I'm at. You know, thank God
exactly.
He has blessed me with a home, you know, several cars in my driveway and a fantastic family of artistic people. My oldest son is a fabulous makeup artist called London Jewels, and you can go to him at www.thelondonlook.com. My youngest son is a musician. He's Drake times 10 on a whole different level. You know, he records, and so, you know, I've got a fantastic extension of myself through my family, and that's, you know, great because that was breeded right here, you know, with what I was doing. It was a rough road, and you know what? The payoff is still coming, and it's still, you know, a journey. Because it's going to be a journey until they put me in a box, and I'm going to keep rocking with it, you know what I mean? But I thank God that when I get off them stages, I get those pounds, I get those hugs, I get those, can I take a picture with you, can you know, where you going to be next, that type of thing. So that drives me to keep trying to make people smile, you know, because ultimately it's all about the fans and doing stuff to make them enjoy their time outside of their normal of issues that they might have to go through and things of that nature. But yo, Meeks, here's a question for you, brother.
Oh, okay.
You got some listeners. I know you got some listeners out there. I'd like to talk to some of your listeners and, you know, maybe interact with some of your folk out there on the line.
Well, I done told them to call in. A lot of those who are on the line, honey, everybody just sitting around there, they just listening. So if y'all want to ask a question or whatever, press the number one and we'll get you in. You know, because I have a number of folks on the line, but right now everybody's just listening. 917-817, I see you. 248, I see you. That's Detroit. Oh, okay. 817, okay. Did I pressure you, baby? I didn't mean to pressure you like that. We're going to go to 817-705. Hello there, caller. You're on the air with Big Meech. You're dishing tea, darling. Say hello to Damien and to Brittany.
Hello, Big Meech, Damien, and Brittany. This is Otis Randolph. How are you doing?
Hey, baby.
What's going on?
Everything.
Boy, you all have inspired me with this interview. I don't even know what my question was. I was just inspired.
That's a beautiful thing, honey. Then let me ask you, what was it that was the catalyst for the inspiration, and give us that little bit, if you know how to put it into words, because sometimes it's just unspeakable joy. But what is it that just said, let me reevaluate me for you?
I mean, the fact that it's like, this is my sister, and I'm like, and, you know, just kind of listening to, you know, just the whole backstory and everything else, I'm just like, I mean, I was overwhelmed with it. I was really, really overwhelmed with it. And just, you know, a family of color to just say, especially in the South, too, I'm just really that was overwhelming to just hear that. I still got goosebumps on that.
Thank you.
You know, it's always empowering when we as an LGBT community can have the love and the support from family members, because I'm the firstborn. So, you know, I shielded a lot from my brother and my sisters because I didn't want them to get to take the hit. You know, I was taking enough of them, you know, and then I helped my mom raise them. So not only was I the big brother, you know, I was like a father figure to them. So at the same time, I had to make sure that they saw me in a light that was going to be pleasant, you know, that wasn't going to take on anything. And then, of course, thinking about my mom, I didn't, you know, she already considered herself the black sheep of the family. So, you know, I didn't want that pressure to be added on to her. But, you know, Lorraine got these old, you know, she got the little ACDC, you know, the little faggoty little kid or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't want that to spill over, you know, into her. And I'm a 70s baby too. So, you know, back in the day, it was always that, you know, they did that whole Red Fox wrist twist shit. You know, so it's always remarkable now that, you know, you have an encouraging family. I mean, hell, I'm at the point now, you know, since I started doing the Ginger Illusionist, hell, my sisters and my mama had me do their hair. You know, well, I don't do hair, but they had me beat their face, honey, when they want to do something important. You know, come fix my face, honey. You know. You know, and this, that, well, that's when I'm home in Detroit. I live here in Atlanta. Everybody's home. And, you know, my brother, on top of it, you know, hell, you know, he was the sports at, you know, of the two of us, the sports buff. You know, so a lot of his friends and Carrie, you know, he was embarrassed to, you know, when he was younger, he was embarrassed to bring his friends around. Thought I was going to hit him when I wanted to. He didn't lie. Okay. I wanted to. But at the same time, you know, that was my brother. And then, you know, he's like a son to me, too. So I was like, that was inappropriate, you know, and this, that, and the third. So over time, it had to take on an element. And then, now here's the kick. When I turned 27, there was this moment because my mother and my brother both got back into church. So all of that church shit that most folks deal with their family, I got later.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, hell, we not finna ready to go here. Oh, no y'all been knowing this too long.
I was about to say, well, you already know how I wrote about that church, so y'all gonna leave it alone.
Well, listen, I'm a drop a jewel on you. Me and Brittany's mom, Elizabeth Clark, was a pastor in her passing years. She changed her whole entire life because we didn't divulge everything, but my mother was in the community growing as she raised both of us, and she changed her life around and became a pastor in her passing years. So we also had to deal with that church situation.
Yes, we did.
And yeah, so, you know, like I said, everybody has similarities in their stories, although they're different. We all seem to go through some things that kind of connect us in impartial ways. You know, that's why I chose to be very inspirational in my travels now, because I realize that I have a responsibility because I touch people.
Dig that.
It was very important to make sure that I, you know what, brother, I'm sorry, what's your name, man?
Otis.
Otis, I don't know you, but I realize that I have crossed your path and I have touched you in such a way. So to me, the onus is on me to make sure that when I do that, I'm doing it in a productive and positive way.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Otis, honey, yes, my darling, I'm waiting on you to get me the second installment of your book, honey.
I,
I'm gonna put you on the spot with that. I know you're working on it, honey. But yeah, I'm putting you on the spot because you know you've been MIA for a little minute, honey. But it's, I'm glad to hear that this child out of the blue, honey. Yes, see how God works. We haven't talked in a minute, and to know that this is the show that you decided to call in on after so long, you know, was what probably your muse to get you up and kick-started and this, that, and the other, to get you where you need to go. And that there becomes the big circle. This is why, you know, for those of us who are in this business call show, and see, you're a writer, and that there is a whole nother form of the business, because now, without you being the writer, there are no words for me to say as the actor or whatever. So, you know, it comes full circle. So that's why we interconnect, and most of us have the same stories when you're dealing with business and agents and this, that, and the other. And I have not gotten to that particular level on a bigger scale. I've only had it on the local scale where I've had to deal with shenanigans and you know, okay, we can get you this deal or whatever, and all these. What you say?
I call it foolishness and fuckery.
okay, shenanigans and propaganda. See there? There you have it. Okay. So, you know, in dealing with all of that, this is why our business is required and is needed, because it is through us that a lot of people are touched, because they get to see themselves without a lot of the pressure and the ridicule. See, one of the things about holding that mirror up is that I can see it. And once I can see the stuff that needs to be changed, then I know that I can change it. And the stuff that I can't do nothing about that, honey. My eyes are brown for a reason. I can't change my eye color unless I go by contacts. But right there, that's only a temporary solution. It's not a permanent one. I can't do anything about that. You see what I'm saying? So that there, it encourages us to sit down and to get real with ourselves, because if you're not going to do that, honey, then what is it? But I teach this because I say this in my book, that the process is sandpaper for the soul. The process is sandpaper for the soul. So once you go through it, whatever that is, you know, the wooing, the boo-hooing, the crying, the snotting, you know, the aha moments, all of that process. You know, when you're up at night, you got the cramps and don't know how to get this joke out. When you're sitting up there just like, you know, you want to get this agency up and running and need the resources or need the backing or need folks to believe in you. When you're sitting up there with writer's block and don't know what the hell to say because, shit, I'm on the deadline and don't know what the fuck to do. When you're sitting around there and you want to sing, but, hell, you got laryngitis because you got strep throat because you'd have been around some crazy-ass motherfucker who's coughing and got tuberculosis or something. When you're going through all of that, okay, that wooing and stuff sits up there, and that is what that's the scraper. Just like when you see the carpenters, when they scraping down all the old paint, you know, to get to the core of the wood, and then you find out, honey, after all of that, you got a nice, smooth, polished surface that's beautiful, and then I could shellac it down so it'll shine forever. Ha! Okay? That's the process, and that's why it's sandpaper for the soul. And that's why our business is what it is. Everyone's contribution, no matter how great or small, whether we like it or don't like it, whether we find you funny or not, Damien, whether we understand what the group is or what the organization is, Brittany, whether we get or not, whether you're trying to blast the church or whatever in the books, Otis, or whatever the case is, that there is why it is necessary, because somewhere in this world, somebody will identify with it.
Well, you know, just to
because
piggyback
you're speaking
off
their
of
language.
That, just to piggyback off of that, I think that people need to start reevaluating themselves, because we're crying about things that are unimportant. I think we're crying about things that are the wrong things to cry about.
Well,
I say stop crying because your car got crashed, because your house is in foreclosure. I think your perspective needs to change. You know what I'm
okay.
saying?
Yeah.
Stop crying.
Yeah, because
stop crying because you ain't got enough money in the bank. Your baby mama just had a miscarriage. Get it together.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So those are the things that I like to bring into my comedy and in conversation. Like, hey, start looking at the things you really need to focus in on. You know what I mean? That's all.
If we remove the material aspects, they're nice things. But just like natural disasters, honey, what's this? Isaac just came through and flooded that damn town. Ain't nobody got shit.
Okay.
They have nothing. Katrina came through, decimated everything. The tsunami came through, done wiped out a whole side of damn Japan, honey. Wiped it out. So what good is it? Yes, it's cute to have. We have lovely memories and carrying on. But at the same time, I'm here and I'm now. Okay, I'm now. Yes, I have pictures of it. The pictures got destroyed. Okay, well, okay, fine. But I can tell you, honey, you know, my mind is intact. I have a peace of mind.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm at a place where I can still be free. I'm not letting all that keep me in bondage because all that becomes poison. And when you can't find anything in a situation to laugh about, that means the poison done got to you and it's killing you, like arsenic.
Exactly.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was saying, I guess, and that's why I guess people don't realize why I still am a huge fan of cartoons, because of the fact it's an escape from reality. But at the same time, would you sit up and listen to some of the things that they say? It is so poignant that it, you know, it just kind of knocks you off your feet, because, like, I'm always going to be a huge fan of The Incredibles. I love that movie by Disney Pixar.
Okay.
Nothing to work, especially with Edna. But the one phrase that she always says that I still live by and everything else, when he was trying to get his suit fixed, and she was like, it's a hobo suit. You can't be seen in it. And he was like, well, you made it. And she was like, oh, I never look back. It distracts from the now. I've never forgot that phrase.
Well, since we're on the subject of superheroes, I just need y'all to know, and all listeners out there to know, that Superman is my favorite superhero. Because he gave back to the community. Because all the hobos got a nice suit out of the deal once he changed.
Shut up!
Well, I was like, if that's the case, of the other man, what about Wonder Woman? Because she stole out them clothes, so where did they go?
Okay. Well, Wonder Woman was stunting.
Wonder Woman's saying, honey.
Wonder Woman was stunting with her little invisible plane. Bitch, you got to get a good parking spot for that.
No. That's why it's invisible. I don't need one, honey. Okay, I can sit up there and park this bitch on top of you, honey. You would never know.
Okay. Well, listen, I want to take this time to acknowledge those people in that were devastated by that movie theater shooting. You know, that was,
yes,
that was a
God,
bad day.
Yes, wasn't that just that act of domestic terrorism?
Yeah, but
it was
that's
an
why I wait
act
from,
of domestic
yeah,
terrorism.
But I tell you this, Meech, that's why I wait for movies to come on Netflix, because I don't need to be beat with that bullshit.
Okay.
I'm so inappropriate. I am so inappropriate. But you know that couldn't have been
but
a black
funny
theater.
Because
you
it's
know
true.
You know it couldn't have been a black theater. Because we already know what smoke bombs are like.
That motherfucker would have been shooting back.
Exactly, because after I paid $76 for a popcorn and two sodas and a ticket.
You better understand shit.
That's
okay, quiet as it's kept, honey. Hell, don't make me spring into action, because I keep my Wonder Woman suit very close. I'm going to bullets and bracelets, honey, in a heartbeat. Okay. Okay, bullets and bracelets time, baby. Let's do this. Okay.
Well, let me ask now, listeners out there, is there anybody else out there that wants to reach out? Because I'm definitely in the mood to chit-chat. So is there any other listeners out there?
Well, no one has raised their other hand yet. So we got a number for the line.
Stop being scared. I ain't going to pop no jokes.
Okay, right. But I do have someone in the tea room asking, are you going to be coming to Detroit soon? Anything happening in Detroit on your travels and things?
Well, if you want me to come to the family cookout, you can get me for $250.
Did you put that out there? He said for the family cookout. Hot damn. Okay. No, we ain't going to do a Jennifer Lewis kind of, okay, we're going to have a backyard barbecue. And we are Big Mama gonna come and say, you know, it's time for the talent show, y'all. Everybody who got a little talent, come on. You know.
Well, Meech, since we're advertising, you don't have an email where I can send you this song that I just did?
Oh, yes, you can, honey. Okay.
Let me get a pen.
Yeah, everybody, and I didn't say this at the top of the show. If you need to email me, honey, email anything to me at bigmeach, BIGMEACH, at dishingtea.com. That's DISHINGTEA, like the drink, honey. It's tea time, huh? Dishingtea.com. So you can send me all of that information there. Now, I'll repeat that again in a few moments, but let me go here. Damien, your directorial debut with Broken Bones, honey, give us the dish on this particular project that you're working on and all of that.
Well, I sat down and I said to myself, anything I can conceive, I can achieve. And I was inspired to write with a writing partner of mine, Ralph Trivette. We wrote, let me rephrase. If you remember the TV show Cheers, it didn't have any black people on there. There were no black people on Cheers. Well, I decided to write a screenplay about a bar that had blacks and whites. And they were from different walks of life. And it's based loosely on the Cheers idea, but, you know, it's a neighborhood bar that all kind of things happen. We have a different cast of characters. We deal with marital problems. We deal with political situations. We deal with unemployment. We deal with the fact that black people are educated, are important, are relevant. So I put all of that together, and I did that with Mitch Dog Productions, Green Frog Productions. I had a great cast. I had Quincy Bonds. I had Polina Beard, Corey Chapman, and a host of other cats that are in there, Tony Felden. We did a fabulous job. That wasn't actually my first directorial. I was doing shorts before that. And coming up soon, maybe by next year, the screenplay will be done. I mean, we're only, you know, 3-4 months away from the end of the year. But I'm doing a feature film that is a a murder mystery comedy. And it's called Who Gets the Last Laugh. It's a very funny murder mystery. You're not going to be able to tell who's out there and who's not. But we're doing some fantastic things. And, I'm still producing comedy shows. Like I said, we have a great comedy show on September 14th at the Village Theater in Atlanta, Georgia. The headliner is Marvin Hunter, a very, very funny cat. Myself, Janet Dollar, Shaq Double D, and hosted by my partner, D'Amico. We just came off of a fantastic show called Chicks vs. Dicks. It was an all-out slugfest snap competition between females and males and just going in hard on the opposite sex. We had the likes of Carlos Miller on there, Mario Tori, O.D. Odell, Comedian Sunshine, Nene. We had Shima Franklin on there. We just had a bunch of Sweet Baby Keita was on there, myself. It was a fantastic thing. And we do our comedy every Monday here in Atlanta on the South Side at Club Solutions. That's 2040 Sylvan Road on the South Side at Club Solutions, 10 o'clock on Monday nights. We just go off the chain with our comedy show. And anybody that's in the Atlanta area listening right now, you know, please feel free to come in. There's no cover. It's free parking. It's $3 martinis. We just, you know, just bring the funny.
All right. Well, $3. Tell them they better have it when I get there. I'm going to pop up unexpectedly. I need a caramel apple martini. Not an apple martini. A caramel apple martini. Okay.
I will make sure
now,
that
I'm down to
the
last
wait.
10 seconds. Let me say, we're going to stop streaming real soon. So if you're listening by computer, whatever you miss will be in the archives. It's going to stop soon. So if you're on the phone, you're fine. If you're on computer, well, it doesn't stop. Okay, we don't went into the after show. And that's cute. I love doing that. I just wanted to make sure folks understood, because a lot of times I get to talking and we get on, and a few times I forget to make that announcement. So, So now, yeah, but tell them to have the ingredients now, because they don't know when I'm coming. If I walk up in there and I say, okay, I want a caramel apple martini, They better look and say, okay, you the bitch that he was talking about. They better say it, okay? Because it better be there. Because if I come in there and they say, oh, no, we don't have it, I'm going to be an evil bitch. I will be evil. Okay? So you better get them now. I'm giving them fair warning. Okay, in fact, it needs to be the special drink of the day, honey. A caramel apple martini is the tea.
Awesome.
You know, pomegranate
awesome.
Is cute and all that, but a caramel apple martini. Uh-huh. Okay.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Okay. So
well,
now.
Listen, I got a couple of things I got to get going to. I hate to, you know, cut it short, but
I was just about to say, you know, we're at the point now of the show to where, you know, let everybody know your Facebook, your YouTube,
oh,
and
yes.
all of that, so
oh,
folks
yes.
can find out where to find you.
You can reach me at Damion, D-A-M-I-O-N, Mr. Inappropriate, that's one word, M-R-I-N-A-T-T-R-I-A-T-E, Mr. Inappropriate, one word, Damion, Mr. Inappropriate at Facebook.com. You can reach out to me there. You can also go to YouTube and find me at Mr. 40 Years, MR40YEARS. That's my YouTube page. And the Inappropriate TV, which we didn't get to talk about for the web series, but that's Inappropriate TV 1. Inappropriate TV 1. That's all one word at YouTube.com. You can go out there and see all the funny stuff we got pushed up there. You know, my stand up, the shows we take, and we're just trying to do it big down here in the ATL.
Well, all right, all right. And, Brittany, I'm going to give us your website again.
Okay. I'm at Facebook, Brittany B. Dillinger Clark. That's B-R-I-T-I-M-E-Y B. D-O-T Dillinger, D-I-L-L-E-N-G-E-R. Last name Clark, C-L-A-R-K-E. And on YouTube, I'm T-S. BDOT32.
Okay.
And on Twitter, I'm Brittany Clark. And I also just want to give a shout out to all my LGBT community who attended Candy World and ATL. I want to give a big shout out to the Revlon for winning that $10,000. I wish I could have been there, but I was back in New York handling some business because as for myself, I'm getting ready to start in a reality show that's being written right now. And I'll also be on MTV, which is a rap showcase, on October 10th.
Well, all righty then. We'll do it, girl.
Yes, yes, yes.
You
Shout out to my Herrera family. Big Mama's in the building.
Okay. Okay. Well, my darlings, honey, it is that time. I'm going to let you guys get back to your own world because, you know, I'm sitting up here. I'm post-surgery. I cannot eat a thing, and I have major cravings, honey. You know, I'm on liquids right now. I can only do liquids.
Ooh,
I can only do liquids. And
that body is
shit. Child, I'd have walked my ass in Walmart and in Kroger's, honey, wanting to pick up every fucking thing. I done said, can't eat nothing.
Honey,
so,
you
know, I'm going through.
Keep that weight.
I'm on a mission, honey. You know, having the weight loss surgery is one thing, but I have a hernia. My entire stomach is a hernia. So, you know, I had to have this surgery in order to repair the hernia. So the bigger picture is to get this damn thing together. So if it means, you know, I can't eat right now, all right, yeah, I'll suffer through it, but I'll be okay. I got enough apple juice and things up in here, honey, that'll keep me satisfied for the moment. I could do ice cream and yogurt, so that'll be my little pastime. But, yeah, that there is that. So I'm going to let you guys get back into your own worlds. I got to get ready because, yeah, later on tonight I got to go to the donut factory.
Okay.
You know, it'd be time to make the donuts, child. So, with that,
you ain't shout out Obama. Like, you got to let your people know. Like, get to them polls. Start to vote. Like, you know what I'm saying? Put Obama back in office. Vote again.
Well, alrighty then. I'm going to take your lead on that, honey, because,
yes.
You know, my first lady did extremely well last night. She set
yes,
that
she
motherfucker
did.
Off last night. I was almost in tears at work. I was like, oh, say it, girl. Okay. But, yes, I'm going to do a whole big old political thing coming up soon because, you know, for those of you who are Team Romney, God bless you. God keep you. You know, I don't understand it, but you have your own reasons, and I'm not going to bash you. However, you know, right now the time is to keep Obama there because he's had some things in the plans. But I'm going to say this. I will say this. If you choose to take Obama out of office, you better take them motherfuckers that blocked his shit with him. You better take all them bitches that sat up there and blocked everything that he tried to do right along with him and start over, if that's your plan. If you want that, then that's what you better do. I don't want to hear this other bullshit. If you take him out, then you better take them other motherfuckers with him because they were the ones that tied his hands for a lot of the stuff. How are you going to sit up there and not pass the job referendum and then say he didn't create jobs? The plan was there. You blocked it.
Right.
How do you do that? So if you want to take him out of office, take all the other motherfuckers with him.
Mm. And one more thing.
Now, otherwise, leave him there.
And one more thing before I go. To the whole LGBT questionable community, wrap it up. HIV and AIDS is real. Sometimes safe sex is the best sex. But if you have to use sex, I mean, if you have to, you know, utilize yourself into sex, you know, wrap it up. Use a condom. And that's it.
If you hot nutted and bothered, my darlings, understand there are ways to protect yourself. If you feeling as though condoms are not your thing, there are risk reduction plans out there that we can sit up there and evoke that would allow you to sustain your life. This is all about making sure you are here. I'm going to be here to celebrate my 125th birthday. So March 4th, 2095, when I turn 125 and celebrate my birthday all month long, honey, I will be there with bells on. So I want you to join me. So with that, my darlings, yes, we'll take that message from my sister right there, okay? And we'll market that on, honey. If that's what it is, honey, if you feel as though you need to or you got nothing to bother than carrying on, honey, the dick is lovely, the ass is lovely, pussy lovely, whatever, however, whatever's rocking your boat, okay, and turning your world upside down, make sure you do it in the proper way so you can still live and tell about it because, you know, I'm a nasty motherfucker. I want the locker room story. So come give me the dirt.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
Just make sure you stay in your own city. Don't come to NYBK, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I got this shit on lock over here. So.
Okay. All right. Dig that. Okay. So, my darlings, honey, you go have a wonderful day and be a wonderful day. And, yes, honey, that's the only way that change can happen, honey, is to be the change that you're looking for. Okay?
Yes,
all
sir.
Right. So with that said, my darling, this has been a wonderful time, honey, a wonderful time. And so I'm going to tell you like I tell you every week, honey. If you love me, tell a friend. If you hate me, tell an enemy, honey. But do know this. One way, shape, style, form, fashion, or color, honey, this thing is moving forward. So you may finish all of your crumpets, honey, because the tea has been dished. And you've been dishing tea, darlings. Ah, with Big Meats, honey. I will see you guys next week. Next Wednesday, we will be talking with Vivian Chu. She is the wife of Ray Chu from Ray Chu and the Crew. He was supposed to be coming, but he won't be able to make it. So she's going to be there with us, and we're going to talk about the entertainment industry from her perspective as a producer, as a manager, as someone who sits up and is a mover and a shaker in that. So join us next week with Vivian Chu. Until then, my darlings, honey, like I said, be the day that you want to be, honey. Encourage change, and always remember, honey, the process is sandpaper for the soul. Until we meet again, honey, be blessed. I'll talk with you soon. Ciao.